In Agora, the latest film by director Alejandro Amenábar, Rachel Weisz plays the philosopher and astronomer Hypatia as she strives to unravel the mysteries of the universe in 4th century Alexandria during a time of religious strife between Christians, pagans, and Jews. The film opens today at the Paris and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas, and I'm very pleased that it brings Oscar winner Rachel Weisz to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Who was Hypatia? Is this a real historic figure?
Yes, she really did exist. I personally had never heard of her, but I've come across many scholars who are really shocked that I hadn't heard of her. I'd never heard of her. She really did exist in Alexandria in the 4th century. We know that she was the daughter of Theon, who ran the Library of Alexandria. We know that she taught philosophy and astronomy, and that she had pagans and Christians in her class. She didn't discriminate between the two. We know that she was an expert in a certain mathematical entity called conic sections, which I also had no idea what that was till I did the film. So there are things that we know for sure that are true about her, and then the film, there are spaces where information is missing, and the film dares to dream things about her.
Well, didn't you go to Cambridge? Don't they teach you about Hypatia?
I missed that class, Leonard. What can I tell you?
This film strikes me as something of a departure for Alejandro Amenábar, the director. I remember talking with him and his star for The Sea Inside, his last film, which was a very intimate work. And this one is an epic, complete with battle scenes. And as they used to say before CGI, a cast of thousands.
Yeah, there really is a cast of thousands. There's not too much CGI. 4th century Alexandria was actually built by Guy Diaz, an incredible production designer in Malta. So, yeah, it's a real old-fashioned sword and sandals movie.
Why Malta?
Gladiator was shot there too. I guess it's sandy and rocky and suitable for the olden times. I don't know. It has a good film infrastructure. I'm not really sure.
And did any of the old sets from Gladiator survive? Could you use stuff that was there? Also, Malta was a place where many similar things actually took place in the ancient world.
I believe there was one chariot that might have been remodeled, but I'm not quite sure if that was a kind of urban myth on the set or not. I'm not sure if anything was reused.
But this does strike me as an odd subject matter, making a film about Hypatia and the religious upheavals in 4th century Alexandria, a time of religious transition, and a story that is about as opposite to the kind of thing that Cecil B. DeMille would have told in one of his old epics.
Yeah, it's a completely unusual subject matter for an epic film. I mean, one would expect a gladiator at the center of such a story, or Antony and Cleopatra at the center of such a story. It's a woman who was a martyr and a virgin and a philosopher and an astronomer. It's a very unusual figure to have at the center of an epic movie. But there are huge battle scenes and the kind of tropes that you normally have in these kinds of movies, but it has a thinking chick at the center of it, which makes it a little offbeat.
Well, you said that she was a virgin. I would assume, we don't know for sure, but that somebody who did the sort of things that she did, worked as a teacher and a philosopher, might have seen herself as someone who had to remain pure.
Well, I mean, I think there was a practical thing at that time. Had she married, she would have been subject to her husband's will, in that he could have stopped her from working. That was the way I understood it anyway, was that she didn't want anyone to stop. She was very, very passionate about her work and didn't want anyone to stop her working.
Well, I'm assuming that Alejandro had a conception of what she was. And then after you thought about her, you had your own conception. Were you able to work the two out?
Yes, I mean, I think that I didn't do a tremendous amount of research, to be honest, because a lot of the stuff that I read was incredibly dry. And my job is, I'm not an academic, I'm not a historian, I'm an actor. So my job really begins and ends with creating a human being that has of flesh and blood and with a beating heart. So I just wanted to make her very passionate about her work. I had to learn a lot about astronomy and science, of which I know nothing. I was an English major, so I read a lot of poems, but I can barely add.
Well, we don't really know what she knew about astronomy. We're making assumptions in this film.
Well, yes, you're right. There was a contemporary theory about a heliocentric model, this man called Aristarchus. It was actually an earlier theory. So there was a theory knocking about at that time that the sun was the center of the cosmos. So it's possible that she could have heard about that.
And pretty much every idea that science has come to accept was proposed at one time or another by the ancient Greeks, which is really interesting. The atomic theory, for example, heliocentric theory. I think Hero actually measured the size of Earth, recognizing that it was round when everybody else said that it was flat, and came pretty close to an accurate figure. It was an extraordinary time, but Alexandria was where it was at this point where all of the scholars had moved.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was apparently, by all accounts, the most exciting place to be sitting around talking about ideas.
Well, your character was a teacher, and at least in the film, all of her students are male. I would think that was rather unusual at the time.
I don't think, on the whole, women... You mean, why were there no women in her class?
They all respect her. She's obviously a brilliant thinker, a philosopher, an astronomer, a teacher. But women definitely had a subservient role at that time, as you point out.
Yeah, it would have been unusual to be a teacher. Apparently there were other female teachers, but she was in this unusual position. She was the kind of aristocracy of Alexandria, an intellectual aristocracy, because her dad ran the library. So we know for a fact she edited Ptolemy's texts with her dad, and she was a kind of a special case.
And as you point out, although she never married... Well, in the film anyway, there are two men who are madly in love with her. There's a scene where she presents one of them, her student Orestes, with a cloth stained with her menstrual blood. Was that scene?
This is true.
That really was based
this
on
this really
fact?
Happened. I mean, absolutely. This
Why would she do that? To turn him off?
I think basically she wanted to make quite sure that nobody ever tried it on with her again. And I think that's a surefire way of doing it. She didn't want to be seen sexually, and she didn't want to be approached again. And that is written in all the chronicles. It was a story that became obviously very famous during her lifetime. She actually did this. I mean, I read some things that was also about like a Neoplatonist idea of perfection. And she was saying, I am not perfection because of this. And, you know, I think there were some abstract ideas, but it's a surefire way to make sure no one attempts to ask you out again. But I think it's an incredibly punk rock thing to do. It's like, what's the name of the it's like, you know, Karen Finley type thing to do. It's like 21st century.
They just didn't have yams in those days in Alexandria.
Exactly. It's so radical. I mean, what a rat. Do you not think that's radical?
Oh, I was taken by the scene.
For the 4th century? I mean...
Her other great admirer is her slave, Davis, mm-hmm. who also becomes her student. Was class status that fluid in Alexandria?
Well, no. I mean, I think what I like about the film is that, in a sense, you would like to say the pagans are the good guys, because the film is about fundamentalism in many ways. And I would say it's kind of an anti-fundamentalist movie. It's not anti-religious. And one could idealize the pagans and say, oh, they were so great. They were so enlightened, but they had this huge moral... Am I talking too close to the thing? They had this huge moral blind spot, which is pretty unbelievable, is that they thought it was okay to have slaves, and they believed that slaves were akin to animals. They didn't think they were humans. So you'd see in the film that she doesn't really see her slave as equally human to her. But yeah, she's a little more relaxed than most, because he takes an interest in what she's interested in, which is the cosmos.
Well, this is a cusp moment, because we have three groups in the city. We have the pagans, who to some degree are not all that committed to their religion, except in some cases.
Yeah.
Christians, who are very strongly committed to their religion. And there's also a Jewish community there. And... for a while, it seems like they can live in peace, but that becomes no longer the case. I don't know whether there are whether this has been passed by some religious organizations, but I would think that some people get a little upset by this, although it's based on fact.
Well, it's true that the pagans, Christians, and Jews were all coexisting very happily until the concept of fundamentalism was thought up, which, according to Justin Chadwick, who was our historical advisor, was a concept created by Christians at that time, the idea that you have to follow my religion, otherwise you are not holy and you are wrong and I am right. That was a kind of a pretty new concept at that time. And I guess that is the concept of fundamentalism. So according to our historical advisor, it was invented, conceptualized at that moment in history.
I'm talking to Rachel Weisz, star of a new film called Agora, which opens today at the Paris and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas. In the film, the pagans speak with British accents and the Christians with Middle Eastern accents. Mm-hmm. In Hollywood in the past, they wouldn't have even worried about that. Everybody would have had some kind of an accent, French, Russian, whatever. But there was a conscious decision here, I assume.
I assume there was, that it turned out, yeah, that the sort of pagan aristocrats were played by English with an English accent, and then the Christians were mainly actors who were cast from the Middle East. We had an Israeli Christian, an Israeli Muslim, an Israeli Jew in the cast, a Christian Egyptian, a Christian from Galilee. In fact, the guy who plays the leader of the Parabolani, the very religious Christian faction, he was a born-again Christian from Galilee. So he was extremely religious in real life, the actor.
It must have been very conflicting for him to play that part.
I believe it was.
Because to some degree, the Christians are the villains of this piece.
Well, I think that it shows some really beautiful aspects of Christianity, this new idea that at that time, this notion of charity, of giving to the poor, you know, blessed are the meek, for he shall inherit the earth. I mean, these beautiful, beautiful teachings that Jesus had come up with, and that, you know, the pagans hadn't figured out that, you can't just enslave a whole people. And Christians came along and said, we're all equal, and one must give to the poor and look after the poor. So I think it shows beautiful aspects of Christianity. It just happens to document a moment in time where Christians were part of a kind of some Christians were part of a militia and were violent. So of course it will upset some Christians who would rather this moment in history not be told, but it does happen to be true.
The title of the film, Agora, refers to a square or a marketplace outside the Library of Alexandria. That's where the word agoraphobia comes from, isn't it?
Oh, Agora? I didn't know that. I guess it must be.
Yeah, it means a fear of going out or going to the marketplace.
Yeah.
Why is that space important to the story?
I think the idea is that, in a sense, that the earth, this little rock floating through the universe with a life form which includes humans crawling about this little rock like ants, that we, the earth, on the earth, we are an agora. We are a rock, which is a meeting place for all peoples.
A marketplace of ideas.
A marketplace of ideas. And unfortunately, what to me is the most interesting thing about the film is it's really, to me, about today. It's a 21st century story set in the 4th century. It's really about how little has actually changed in terms of the fact that on this rock called the Earth, we are still killing each other in the name of religion.
And we're still talking about clashes of civilizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand. How long were you there?
4 months.
So you brought your family, Darren Aronofsky, your young son, with you?
Yeah. In fact, Darren edited The Wrestler whilst I went off to Alexandria. So he was with Mickey Rourke and I was with my in my toga looking at the cosmos.
Would you have wanted the part in The Wrestler that Marissa Tomei played?
Sure. Why not?
That was a very meaty role.
Yeah, it was a great role. She did a wonderful job.
Now, you're British, but you live in New York now?
Yeah.
You won an Academy Award for The Constant Gardener in 2006. Has that brought you better film offers?
Yeah, definitely. It means that the director, like Alejandro Amenabar, just sends me a script like Agora and says, hey, do you want to do this? So, yes, of course, it does massively influence the kind of directors that want to work with you.
And when you read it, you knew immediately that this was something you wanted to do?
I knew immediately that it was completely bold, daring, unusual, and unlike anything I'd ever come across, so yes.
But does the character Hypatia resemble in any way Tessa, the character you played in The Constant Gardener, do you think?
They're very, very different.
But they're both very passionate about their work.
Yeah. Well, I'm passionate about my work, so I can relate to that. I guess the one thing that's similar between them is that they're both willing to die for what they believe in. And I like stories about people like that. Personally, I'd say anything to live, absolutely anything. I'm not noble in any way, but I'm very interested in the idea of people. And there are people, as we know, who have existed and exist like that, who are willing to lose their life for their ideals. And I'm very drawn to that in stories.
Is it true that you're going to be playing Jackie Kennedy in a film that Darren Aronofsky is making?
It's true that Darren's, yes, it is true.
Because there is a physical resemblance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful script. It's just finding its producerial home right now. And it's about basically from the death of, from the assassination of JFK until the funeral. So it's not a biopic. It's about 5 days in her life, five very dramatic days.
Had you and Darren worked together before?
We did a film about 4 years ago called The Fountain.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you met?
No, we've been together for double that time.
Well, this this film is a departure for you. In fact, it's a departure for films today, because we haven't seen this kind of epic, and as you point out, an epic that really is made in the old-fashioned way with real extras, not a lot of people that have been drawn in on a computer.
Yeah.
That must have been really interesting. You could have imagined what it was like in Hollywood in the old days.
Yes, I've seen stills of Elizabeth Taylor on the set of Cleopatra, and this is tonally a very different film, but there are similarities in terms of the scope of the sets and the costumes and the extras.
Where was Cleopatra shot? Do you know?
Oh, I don't. I have no idea. Do you think Egypt?
It may have been shot in Alexandria.
It may be.
Did you go to Alexandria?
No, I never have. Never been to Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the great seat of learning for a long time. And then that library burned down, didn't it?
You mean after the end of the story in our film? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Later on, yeah. I think it was destroyed 3 times and then it burnt down. It had a really rocky ride, that library.
Meanwhile, we have this film, Agora, which mm-hmm. opens today at the Paris and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas, starring Max Minghella, Oscar Isaac, and Rachel Weisz, who's been my guest. It's been a real... Oh, and the film is directed by Alejandro Amenábar. Do you have anything else in the works?
You mean other films coming
out?
Yes. I just finished a film called Dream House, which Jim Sheridan directed with Daniel Craig and Naomi Watts, which is... a thriller, I guess, is the genre.
Well, I hope you'll come back to talk about that with us.
So.
Rachel Weisz, starring in Agora.